Wouldn't it be really cool to step into the shoes of Sora and be able to summon a Keyblade and swing around and defeat Heartless? Yeah, I had the same exact thought. And that's why for today's video, I'm going to be breaking down how a full VR experience for Kingdom Hearts could be actually amazing. Now, I know there's already a PlayStation 4 exclusive VR title for Kingdom Hearts, but it's not really much of a full-blown game. It's just like a bunch of little mini-games you can play just as like a side experience to the main games. And in that, you can fly around in the gummy ship, defeat enemies. You can go into Olympus Coliseum and fight some Heartless in the ring. And it's more based off Kingdom Hearts 1 than anything. Now, while I will be taking ideas and concepts that they did for that VR title for PlayStation 4, I would like to propose a concept for a full Kingdom Hearts game that is in the same vein of the actual Kingdom Hearts games that we have, and that follows that kind of same format, but you being able to play as Sora in VR. Now, I'm more creating this game around the Oculus Quest platform, simply because that's the most affordable type of headset that's on the market right now, and most games that are coming out now are being developed for both PC VR and the standalone headsets like the Quest. So there will be a lot of limitations that the Quest cannot handle, rendering and being able to do it at a smooth frame rate. Like, we are never going to see Half-Life Alyx come to the Quest just because it's too large of a game and it's got too much going on. That's a PC VR only game. So just for the sake of this concept, I want to make it, air quotes, simple enough so that everyone can play it on whatever headset they have. Now with that out of the way, I'm going to start this off with what kind of worlds we will see and how these worlds will be made for the limitations of it being on every platform. So I am fine with them reusing old worlds that we've already seen, and I think making the worlds in the style of sort of like Kingdom Hearts 1 world sizes and Birth by Sleep world sizes so that they're not too big, so that you'd easily be able to traverse around them in VR without getting motion sick or anything like that, just so that there's a big enough size so that they feel large, but a small enough size that it's not too much. Like for instance, in Kingdom Hearts 2, the Pride Lands would not be a very good world that would be in this game just because it's simply too large. And the same thing in Kingdom Hearts 3, we wouldn't be able to see Sanford and Tokyo just because it's so large. I mean, it's not really that large of a city, but for, you know, walking around it in real time in VR would definitely take a lot, let alone rendering it and everything like that, but I'll get to that in the gameplay section. I would like to see one world from each Kingdom Hearts game, but remade for VR and to the style of Birth by Sleep so that they're not too big. Because as Birth by Sleep was on the PSP, it had to have much smaller world sizes, but they were still big enough to feel like Disney worlds. Of course, not to the same scale of Kingdom Hearts 2 and Kingdom Hearts 3, but they were still there. So of course, if we can go to Twilight Town and be able to explore Twilight Town in VR, even if it's just the Kingdom Hearts 2 version of Twilight Town, I would be super happy because it's my favorite version of Twilight Town. And again, they can compromise in some areas just to make it more easier for VR traversal. But other worlds I had in mind were Cinderella's Castle, Pirates of the Caribbean, the one from Kingdom Hearts 2. That one was pretty small. I liked that town dynamic, not the one from Kingdom Hearts 3. And Halloween Town, just to name a few, would definitely be like a good pool to start with. And the fact that they're all still kind of small in their own right, they wouldn't really have to remake much, and they wouldn't really have to make or change a lot of the layout to fit VR, because those ones are from the older games where the worlds were smaller already, so there's not that much work to do. And I think, honestly, for Cinderella's Castle, or even if we had Beast's Castle, both of them, they're really small because they just take place in a couple of corridors. I think those would be really good worlds to include in this kind of game, where you can explore and actually, like, look around and stuff, without compromising too much on the world as the world's already done. So of course, just having worlds to walk around in would be cool, but kind of pointless and boring if there wasn't, you know, enemies to attack and things to actually do in the world. So that is a perfect segue into my next section, which is about the gameplay. Now, I know this is going to be a little divisive, as we're not going to be able to do 20-hit combos into the air with Sora and a lot of the stuff that he's able to do, which is really unfortunate because, as we all know, Kingdom Hearts 2 has the best gameplay out of all the games. So going back from that to the kind of style that Kingdom Hearts 1 was would probably be a shame, but I think it would fit really well with how this VR title would work and having that limited moveset to something that we actually have to perform ourselves with the Keyblade, with the control in our hand would be pretty cool. Because on one hand, it would be a little disappointing not being able to do all of Sora's moveset, but on the other hand, you'd actually still be able to do most of his moveset in Kingdom Hearts 1. You'd be able to do most of that in a VR title. So for instance, Sora's ground combo, the three-hit combo that he does in Kingdom Hearts 1 and at the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2, because he hasn't learned anything else yet, that combo could work really well. Now, I know people would just go flailing around with the Keyblade, which probably would still work as, you know, can't really do flips and spins and everything when you're grounded. But if you think about it from a perspective of how Vader Immortal works, you actually have to block and parry, and you actually have to attack. If you just swing your lightsaber all willy-nilly, you're not gonna be able to, you know, block correctly or hit. It's not gonna register as a hit. You have to do a good clean swing. And while you can cheese it just a little bit, the system only really works when you block, parry, dodge out of the way, and attack when the enemy is open. So I believe having a block ability that Sora has in Kingdom Hearts, I think having that as a important part of his moveset where you would basically required to use it to get past situations, you wouldn't be locked into one spot once you start combat. You'd still be able to move around, but you wouldn't be able to move around as fast. You wouldn't really be able to dodge roll because motion sickness. So having a block and parry would be extremely important to actually staying alive in these types of encounters. So an instrumental part would be giving Sora the ability to block and parry from the beginning of the game. And a thought occurred to me to where sometimes how other games do it, where if you block or if you dodge perfectly, time slows down. So I think taking that mechanic and giving it to the block in this kind of game would work extremely well, as of course your reaction time to blocking and then pressing a button to parry is much faster on a controller than it would be actually swinging your arms to parry an attack. So how it would work is you would block with the Keyblade, you'd hold it sideways, and when an enemy attacks, the attacks would be extremely telegraphed because you have to, like, look at them. If they want to make them glow when they attack or something like that, making an accessibility mode, I would be totally fine with that. But having it where Sora has to hold his Keyblade sideways to block, and then once an enemy attacks, if the attack connects successfully and Sora blocks it, then the enemy would get pushed back a tiny bit in a staggered state, and then time would slow down if you blocked correctly, just for a brief second or two, to where it would give you enough time to do a special parry move where it would do either more damage to the enemy than a regular hit, or would be able to put them in another stagger to where you can attack them in a simple combo after that. Now, I know that does kind of sound really cool at first, you know, you're gonna have Sora like in the Matrix, but of course it would get stale after a while, and you know, the different types of enemies with different types of attacks. So like the base Heartless would have an attack that 100% of the time lets you stagger them and lets you parry them. Now the bigger Heartless, the Soldier Heartlesses, those ones, they would have a two attack combo that you'd only be able to stagger them on the second hit. If you blocked the first hit and then you got hit by the second hit, you wouldn't be able to block correctly and of course you'd get hit. Or it would be vice versa, if you dodged the first hit and blocked the second hit, it wouldn't register it as a parry, but you would still block their attack, so you'd still technically be able to attack them out of that, but it wouldn't be a guaranteed couple of seconds to where you can attack in slow motion to when they're staggered, but they would still be finished with their attacking animation to where you could get an opening and attack. Now, I know that was a lot of technical information of how that would work, but the game really wouldn't be able to work without that, because having just telegraphed attacks wouldn't be enough. You'd have to have an accessibility feature to where you'd actually be able to stand a chance of getting a guaranteed attack out of a block. Now, of course, you can just still dodge out of the way, not a dodge roll, but you can, you know, move out of the way, as enemies should be locked into place when they're attacking. Now, some of the later enemies would be able to move. There are nobodies. Their attacks would be extremely well telegraphed. I know they'd be squiggling all over the place, but they would tell you from which angle they're going to attack from. Just like in Vader Immortal, there's training bots that glow on the side they're about to attack you on, so you can dodge out of the way or block. And then if you block enough attacks, you can parry and then attack them, you know, so on and so forth. Now, of course, you're still going to be able to move around while getting attacked. You're not just going to be stuck in place, like I said before. So having the left stick being able to move for movement and the right stick for a snap or smooth turn camera, or you can just have it where you turn around in real time, but I would recommend snap or smooth turn. And keeping on the move would make it so that you wouldn't get dogpiled by a bunch of small Heartless and not be able to move or do anything because you'd be stuck blocking for the whole time. Which, of course, it is another problem they would have to deal with, but I believe that's where magic would come in. Now, you'd still be able to use magic like fire, water, arrow, blizzard, you know, the rest, and thunder. So I believe you'd still be able to use fire and blizzard as, like, you know, enemies that are far away if you want to keep far away and spam fire. But having other magic abilities like thunder and arrow would definitely be detrimental to keeping the enemies off you from dogpiling you. So I believe having a slightly bigger MP gauge would be much easier, and letting it recharge faster so that you can make sure the enemies don't gangpile you and completely destroy all your health. Now, I will propose that you can still launch enemies up into the air with arrow and with like an uppercut slash. You won't really be able to follow them up into the air. You could possibly juggle them with the ground combo like you can in basically every single Kingdom Hearts game, but you won't be able to follow them up and do a 20-point combo, mainly because of the whole motion sickness thing and jumping when you're not jumping in real life. So that's why I'm going to be talking about this last point for gameplay, is giving us dry forms again. Now, of course, the first one that comes to mind that is basically necessary is ranged form, where you can, you know, shoot stuff out of your keyblade for ranged enemies. Because your combos aren't going to be incredible and you'll still have magic there to use, having the ranged form for dry forms would definitely be helpful in dealing with all the heartless. And of course, still being able to use valor form and wisdom form and master form and final form. I mean, like, who doesn't want to use master form and dual wield keyblades? That's so cool. So each valor form would have to be slightly reworked to where it would have its own benefits and downsides. Now, the downsides wouldn't be huge, as you'd, again, be able to attack in a very different way. However, there still needs to be some sort of a downside to using a form where something gets taken away just for that valor form time. And I know you'd be using up a drive gauge just for doing it, but just for the balancing in that you can't use wisdom form to take pot shots at heartless from all the way across the arena, there has to be something there to make it at least a little bit balanced. So for instance, the buffs that valor form would give you is being able to run a lot faster, and when you block, it would give you an extra 1.5 seconds to where you could do the slow motion attack. Now, these aren't the all-encompassing perks that you would get when you use your dry forms. They could be, you know, different than this, but this is the way that I think that it would work the best. Now, for every form that you could use that had more than one keyblade, like valor form, light form, and master form, the combos would be different because you'd have two keyblades. You'd be able to swing twice and just be able to do more damage and be able to block a little bit easier because you have two keyblades. Now, for wisdom form, for the ranged form, you'd be able to shoot projectiles from a distance and be able to move faster because you'd be able to glide, but you wouldn't be able to attack. Now, I'm going to make it so where you can still block, but there won't be a way for you to parry. If you try to parry, it just won't do anything. So it would give you enough time to run away. If an enemy comes up to you and tries to attack you, you can still block. So it won't be a traditional parry in the sense that you can block, parry, and then attack. It will more act like if you blocked successfully, everything will go slow motion and you'll be able to run away while also shooting at the heartless that just attacked you that's still in slow motion. So it'll give you 2 or 3 seconds to run away while still being able to attack them while moving backwards. And as you level up all these forms, the buffs would pretty much stay the same, as you don't want to be too overpowered, but the debuffs would be taken off more so every other level, so you'd be able to actually attack. Once you get to the end of upgrading wisdom form, it would actually just let you attack with the keyblade instead of having to run away and keep shooting. So that would just be an example of a debuff that would go away once you fully master wisdom form. Now, for master and final form, they would pretty much be the same, to where master form, you'd have everything that valor form has, but you would also have unlimited magic. So you would have unlimited NP, where you'd be able to do everything except for cure. Cure would still make you completely drain your NP, but seeing as how you get full health when you enter dry form anyway, you should be fine. But if you do need to use cure when you're in master form, it will cause your MP bar to drain, but anything else using like magic or anything like that will cause it to be unlimited. Now, when you first start off using master form, when you turn back from master form, you will stop having unlimited MP, but no matter what, your MP bar will start draining and will have to recharge, even if you didn't even use any magic. So that would be the debuff, that once you turn back to normal Sora, your MP bar would be completely drained and you'd have to let it recharge. But when you fully master form, it would make it so that when you turn back into regular Sora, your MP bar would be completely full, no matter what. Even if you had cure, it would be completely full. So again, another example of a debuff going away when you master a form. This case, master form. And every drive form that you use, so starting with Valor form, that will drain the drive form the least, and then Wisdom form, and then Master form, and then Final form, draining the bar the most. So by the time you get to the end of the game and you unlock Final form, and you have a full drive gauge, you'll be able to do it for kind of a long time, but it would still drain much, much faster than Valor form, for instance. And Final form would pretty much just be every single thing in one. That's kind of what Final form is. So the dual keyblades, the magic, the MP bar recharging, infinite magic, being able to shoot projectiles, basically everything in one. Well, you're probably going to say, if you could just do Final form and it would be able to do every single battle, you'd be able to get out of everything, then why would you use anything else? Well, when you start using Final form, it would already take off one full drive bar of the 5 bars that you have. I'm going to say we use 5 bars just like in Kingdom Hearts 2. So you'd go from starting with 5 bars down to 4 bars, and then from that it would drain very quickly considering you're using everything from the past forms. So it would make it so that, well, yes, if you knew exactly what you were doing and were able to, and there was a few enough enemies, you could clear all them out with just using Final form, but it's not a get out of jail free card. While it is very powerful, if there's too many enemies and you get overpowered and Final form goes away and you don't have a drive form to use Master form to get, you know, unlimited magic again, that would let you last a little bit longer, or Valor form that would last even longer than that to the end of the battle, then you would quickly be overwhelmed. And if your MP bar goes down while trying to use Thunder or Arrow get all the enemies away, and there's too many enemies and you already used your drive bar so you can't get all your health back, no cure, then that's a really good way to stop people from abusing Final form and thinking about a situation when they go into it, if they just want to keep using Sora as he is, or try to use one of the drive forms to get through the situation and only really use Final form as like a last resort if you have enough drive bars. Now, I know these last couple example sections have been more rambling than anything, as it's more of just my idea of how it could work and how I would like to see it. And I'm not a game developer, I haven't made a game, and I haven't developed a game, so most of these things that I'm saying probably aren't able to be done in a gameplay sense. But if this does end up one day being created by someone, some team somewhere, this is the way I would like to see it, and how these kind of gameplay buffs and debuffs and ways you can change around what Sora can already do to make it accessible for VR from a person who loves the series and also loves VR games in general. I think these two topics would work extremely well together, especially with the pairing with the Disney worlds, as it would be the only way we're actually able to explore these Disney worlds in first person in this kind of detail, and I think that would be absolutely incredible if we actually got to look around. Now, right at the end here, before I wrap it up, I just want to discuss other playable characters, because I know that would come up in conversation. Now, of course, the majority of the game, we'd be playing Sora, as it's Sora, and I was thinking of having Goofy and Donald next to you, just as, like, supporting characters that would run around and attack enemies. They would have their own AI and everything, just like they normally do, but I hope that there are, like, special episodes that are along, like, the campaign, or separate from the campaign, to where you can play as a moment from the character's history in VR, so it would more just be like a flashback part where you could play as that character in that situation that wouldn't really have anything to do with that special campaign they made for the VR. The first one that comes to mind is being able to play as Riku from Kingdom Hearts 1 when he was facing off against Sora. So being able to play in that fight in VR at the end of Kingdom Hearts 1 as Riku instead of playing as Sora. So just being able to have that separate gameplay dynamic. The gameplay would more so be the same. However, it'd be a one-on-one boss against Sora, the character you were playing as the whole time. You'd have the same abilities and everything, the AI would be the same. However, being able to play as Riku, a villain at that point, would be super cool, because we've never got to do that in this series. Like, literally never. Another one that comes to mind is a Roxas segment, where just give us a small segment in 3x8 over 2 days, with we can go through a cutscene as Roxas, maybe fight one or two Heartless or something like that. It doesn't have to be like a big section, but giving us a few cutscenes remade for VR where you're standing there as Roxas on top of the Twilight Clock Tower eating sea salt ice cream, that would be really cool. That's something I definitely want to see. If anything, that's like the only thing I want to see. And while yes, it was in that PlayStation 4 exclusive VR experience, I want a full part to that where you can actually play as Roxas along with those cutscenes. Being able to do some gameplay before it, have the cutscenes, and then have one boss at the end, even if it's short, just like 20 minutes. That would be super cool, and just give more replayability to something after you finish the main campaign story. And speaking of the story, for this main campaign for the Kingdom Hearts VR game that we're talking about right now, I know I didn't really touch on it at all, basically, because I really have no idea what they could do. The first thing that came to my mind was making it just like Melody of Memory, where the gameplay is like separate from the actual story that's going on. Like, what you're doing for the rhythm game has really nothing to do with the story cutscenes that are going on, with them trying to find where Sora is and where Crojatum is and all that. But just making it to where you go through these worlds and fight Heartless and do things that you may have already done in Kingdom Hearts 2, or they can make up a couple new things, like Sora could go to Cinderella's castle. Even though, yes, it is destroyed after Birth by Sleep, it falls into the Realm of Darkness. Still letting Sora explore that, even if it makes absolutely no narrative sense. I mean, all they really have to do is just say that he went back in time again and he explored it before Aqua, Ventus, and Terra went there. I mean, like, that's pretty much a reason no one would really care. I wouldn't mind it if we actually got to do it. That'd be cool. And then for Beast Castle, you could just say, oh, it's Kingdom Hearts 2, Sora, you're just doing everything again, but there's some more areas or whatever, I don't know. And then Twilight Town, just make it Kingdom Hearts 2, Twilight Town. You can have a Roxas outfit where you can just look like Roxas and walk around. Not to skateboard, but you can just walk around and stuff. Just having the extra interactivity would make this such a better game, to where we'd really be able to interact with these Disney worlds and Kingdom Hearts worlds in a way we never really would be able to again, in the fact that it would be first person and us as Sora in his shoes, his giant clown shoes, walking around and saving the day and defeating Heartless next to Donald and Goofy, and I hope Mickey shows up at some point, that'd be cool. But yeah, that's pretty much gonna wrap it up for this video. I know it was more of a rant and more of a really long speech about what I'd like to see than anything, as I said previously, but I did hope you guys enjoyed this video. And if you did enjoy this video, and you want to see more like this, if you could hit that subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and if you can give a like to this video, that would help me out a lot and help it to get out to more people in the algorithm. Now, we are fastly approaching 100 subscribers. My plan was to get to 100 by the end of August, and I definitely think we can do it. There's about 12 left, so there's no way we can't do this by the end of August. So if you guys want to help me out, again, hit that subscribe button. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Pajama Let's Play. I'll have her channel linked down below. She recently just did a theory review slash reaction to one of my theory videos that I had about if the Master Masters was going to end up being the final boss. So I'll have that video linked down below, and I'll have her reaction to that video down below as well, and her channel with them as well. And I absolutely appreciate her giving my channel a shout out. That definitely helped me out a lot. So if you guys could go reimburse her with that kindness, if you could go over to her channel, check her channel out, and if you do end up enjoying her content, if you could give her a subscribe as well. She's definitely got a lot of good theory videos, a lot of theory reacting videos that are on there, and I highly suggest that you go check them out, as I really enjoy her content, so I believe you guys would definitely like them as well. So with that, I know it's been a really long video, so I thank you all for making it to the end, and with that, I'll see you guys in the next one. Have a good one.